Hey everyone, welcome to the Week in Doubt, episode 40. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/theweekindoubt. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I know I've fallen a little behind with the recording of the show, so I apologize and I hope that the stories I'm going to cover today don't seem too out of date. I stopped by iTunes recently just to see if there was any new feedback or reviews, and there was one fairly positive review that I hadn't seen before, so I'll go ahead and share it with you. So this person goes by the handle of Mr. Sandman, and he left this review on November 15th. He gave me a 4-star review, which in total would bring the show up to, I believe, 4¾ stars out of a possible 5, so not bad. And he says, "Mr. Albertelli is educated and intelligent. I congratulate him on undertaking such a controversial subject and sharing his thoughts with us. He uses his powers of reason well, and therefore his atheistic views are persuasive. I highly recommend his thought-provoking podcast, but I do have a couple of very minor quibbles. First, he tends to be overly polite, overly modest, and often apologetic. Since I come from a similar strict Catholic Italian-American background, I understand his utterly respectful nature. But once in a while, one wishes he'd get forceful and state his beliefs without equivocating. Come on, Phil, don't pull your punches. Make it a harder-hitting podcast. Secondly, I wish there were some interaction with other people, be it listeners who send in feedback by email, I was unable to find an email link for him, or guests over a Skype connection. Listening only to Mr. Albertelli speaking can at times be a tad wearisome. Nevertheless, I hope his podcast continues for a long time to come. I think anyone who takes time to wonder about his or her existence in the supernatural will indeed like the podcast as much as I do." So that was generally a positive review, and they did give me 4 stars. So if you're listening, I'd like to thank you for taking the time to leave that very thoughtful and well-worded review. I suppose I should take a moment to address what the reviewer referred to as minor quibbles that they had with me or the show. Before I do that, I should state, the person mentioned how they had tried to get in touch with me and were looking for a link. You can reach me at theweekindoubt@gmail.com if you want to send me an email. You can also go to the Week in Doubt Facebook page and leave me a message that way. And there may even be a way to reach me through Podbean, too. I think there may be some kind of messaging system there as well. I also usually end up making a YouTube version of the podcast, too. So if you want to leave a comment in response to a particular episode, you can go to YouTube and do a search for The Week in Doubt, and you should find the channel page for the show with a listing of all of my video uploads. But now I'll get back to my response to the review. I think the majority of the person's points are valid. His point about how it might spice the show up if maybe I did Skype interviews or even read listener feedback or something like that. Well, I guess technically I'm reading listener feedback right now. But as far as Skype interviews go, that's something I've kind of fantasized about. I would like to do some interviews, maybe even, it's a dream of mine, work my way up to some of the big names, maybe score some interviews with some of the new atheists or people like that, maybe someday down the road. Maybe people like Sam Harris or Richard Dawkins. I know that sounds very grandiose. That's quite the goal. But I suppose I could work my way up, start with some fellow non-believers, or maybe professors of philosophy or religion or things like that. I think the main obstacle right now in that regard is that I'm fairly tech savvy in certain areas. As I've talked about on the show before, one of my trades is graphic design. I went to school for design and I had to learn how to be fairly proficient on a computer and how to use a multitude of software programs. But I have to admit, there's still a couple of areas where I'm a little computer literate, and one of them is Skype and doing conference calls and things like that. As I've talked about on the show before, I've kind of formed an alliance or a friendship with some fellow podcasters who also do shows geared towards atheists or non-believers. One of them is Chris Weber from C-Web Sunday School. Then there's also the hosts of the A Matter of Doubt podcast, and a guy who likes to go by the name of Dumbass, who actually juggles a few different podcasts. One of them is the Invisible Sky Monster podcast, and another one is A Dumbass's Guide to Knowledge. I believe that's the title. I hope I got it right. And Chris, in particular, is really motivated, and he's kind of a go-getter, and he kind of wrangled all of us together to take part in a roundtable discussion for an episode of his show, and that aired a while back now, and currently we're all working on another roundtable episode for his podcast. So anyone who would like to hear me interact with others, in the meantime, you could check out Chris's podcast, and that's C-Web Sunday School, and you could look through his archives for the roundtable episode I did with him and the other guys. And right now, I just alluded to the other roundtable discussion that we're working on. This one's going to be a little different. This one is going to be pre-recorded, and all of us are going to kind of give our take on the atheist experience, or what do we think about the label atheist, and is it a good thing? Is it too limiting? Is it too loaded a term? I already recorded my portion and handed it off to Chris. And once he has everyone's, he's going to edit. And he usually does a great job of editing. He usually finds a compelling way to cut everything together. So I'll keep you posted on that. And that'll give you another chance to kind of hear me out of my usual element or safety zone and actually taking part in a different kind of format with others, as opposed to flying solo as I usually do. But for those of you who might agree with Mr. Sandman's take that it can sometimes get a little tedious listening to just me by myself waxing philosophical, hopefully down the road, once I get more of a hang for doing conference calls or Skype calls, I will start to kind of make the show more dynamic and add some interviews and things like that. And as far as the part of the review where he describes me as someone who tends to be overly polite or modest or often apologetic, I think he hit the nail on the head with that one. But to be honest, I don't think it's something that I'll change anytime soon. It's kind of who I am. There are times when I do assume a kind of more hard-hitting attitude and take the gloves off a bit. And if you're a longtime listener, you might know what I'm talking about. There are some episodes where I would talk about Scientology and Mormonism. And when you have relatively new religions like that with these kind of outlandish beliefs and these kind of harmful practices, the majority of Mormons, probably decent people. But what I usually refer to when I talk about the kind of dark side of Mormonism is really in reference to things like polygamy involving underage girls and retaliating against members for leaving the church. And that's something you see with the Warren Jeff types and these kind of fundamentalist Mormon sects that haven't yet shed the practice of polygamy like mainstream Mormons. Polygamy itself, I don't have much of an issue with. If a bunch of consenting adults want to marry one another and all live together in one big, giant, happy family, you know, that's fine by me. I have no moral hang-ups or issues with that. But when you have these old men marrying off underage girls to other old men and stuff like that, that's despicable, to put it mildly. But I've also taken the gloves off when criticizing simply the supernatural claims and beliefs of religions like Mormonism and Scientology. With Mormonism, we have a religion which was literally dreamed up by a known con man, Joseph Smith. He talks about Jesus visiting the Americas, and something I find rather insulting as someone who has an admiration for the indigenous people of the Americas. He claims that the Native Americans are actually a lost tribe of Israel. And then also there are the racist practices or policies in Mormonism, which you really didn't see come to an end until the 70s, I believe, where people of African American descent were barred from the Mormon priesthood till 1978, I think. In fairness, back in the day, I believe there were a handful of black Mormon clergy before even the death of Joseph Smith. But I'm sure the later ban and overall prejudiced attitude towards dark-skinned people had something to do with the nonsensical belief in the dark-skinned Lamanites, whose dark skin was brought on by a curse from God, or so the Mormon story goes. Just really ugly and yet simultaneously nonsensical stuff. In the case of Scientology, we literally have a religion that was dreamed up by a science fiction author. And although largely Scientologists try to hide it, there's this whole strange and farcical cosmology involving so-called thetans or body thetans, these kind of spirits that cling around the human body and cause all sorts of ailments, and a story about an intergalactic warlord named Xenu. And this is stuff dreamed up by, to put bluntly, a drug-addled science fiction author. So there are times when I think, take the gloves off. Oftentimes, I think they're right. I am perhaps, I don't know if overly, but I'm go out of my way to be polite, perhaps modest, although it probably wouldn't be rather modest to say so. Maybe apologetic. And it's because I try to be as thoughtful as possible, and I do try to retain a certain degree of humility. Because even though my reason leads me to doubt the existence of a creator, even though my reason leads me to doubt the existence of an afterlife, and even though I think that all the religions of the world are clearly man-made, no one knows all the answers. No one knows exactly for sure what's out there. So I try not to sound too sure of myself, and I try to remember that even I don't have all the answers. No one does. And I think in a weird way, that's something I'm proud of about myself, because I don't want to come off as a kind of shrill or close-minded atheist, someone who's just as certain that there isn't a God as fanatical or blind believers assure that there is a God. As I think even prominent atheist people like Dawkins or the late Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, people like that, I think even they would agree that although we doubt the existence of a creator because the proof seems to be lacking, no one knows the whole story for sure. We're still putting the puzzle pieces together. I think both science and religion are faced with the problem of infinite regress. And I've talked about this on the show before. You know, if we go back to the point just before the Big Bang, religious people obviously like to believe that God sparked creation or brought everything into being. And if you pose what I think is the logical question, simple yet logical, well, who made God? They'll kind of scoff usually and say, well, God always was. And you'll say, well, how do you know that? And they'll try to say, oh, well, their holy book implies God always was. So you're getting that belief that there's an eternal creator from a man-made book. That doesn't really seem like evidence to me. And as far as science goes, you know, you might have someone like a Lawrence Krauss, who I greatly admire, an astrophysicist, who can get as far as saying that we can kind of explain how the universe could indeed come from nothing without God, because ironically, as contradictory as it sounds, nothing isn't really nothing. That nothing is more this kind of bubbling cosmic brew with all this potentiality within it. But then even, and I know that's hard to wrap one's mind around, but even then you could ask the question, well, where did the bubbling nothingness come from? So I think both science and religion are stuck with the problem of infinite regress for now. But at least we skeptics and non-believers, I think what we have on our side is the fact that we approach the problem with reason, with the application of the scientific method, and with evidence, as opposed to simply wanting to believe something is true and falling back on man-made stories. So I think even right there, I might have done what the person, what the reviewer tends to take issue with. You know, maybe it sounds like I'm equivocating or splitting the difference. I'm perhaps trying to be fair to both sides, saying, you know, pointing out the limitations of science and pointing out the limitations or weaknesses of religion. So maybe in a sense I do sound like I'm equivocating, but hopefully, in fairness to myself, I think it's also easy to tell that I do lean heavily towards the side of the skeptic or the non-believer. I don't think you can get much more blatantly skeptical than stating that you think that religion's a man-made and that you doubt the existence of a creator or an afterlife, you know? But I don't want to sound like I'm attacking this person, because they did leave what was mostly a very positive review, and I don't want to discourage people from being honest and criticizing me, because your criticisms could help me improve myself both as a skeptic and as a podcast host. So if you are a listener, and I would consider it a personal favor, if you, like this particular reviewer, would like to leave some feedback or a review on iTunes, and like them, don't be afraid to be honest. Tell me what you like about the show and what you don't like about the show. And that can probably help me improve things. Don't be too brutal, hopefully. And they left me a 4-star review. So if you want to leave me 4 stars too, that would be great. But obviously, I don't want to sway you too much. I want the review to be honest. Give me what you actually think I deserve, I suppose. But to reiterate in closing, as far as my addressing the issues the reviewer takes with me goes, I think the fact that I do try to retain some modesty and that I do go out of my way to be respectful at times, I think maybe that's a positive thing, and maybe that's what differentiates me from that stereotype of the shrill, combative atheist. And I think it's a stereotype that's largely undeserved. I'm sure there are some what one might refer to as militant atheists out there, but mostly atheists that I know, in fact, all those that I've met, and I would say most of the ones that I admire, are intelligent, thoughtful, sensitive people. Not someone who woke up and said, wow, I think I'll stop believing in God today. Wouldn't that be cool and kind of piss everyone off? They're usually people, maybe who, like myself, went through their own kind of dark night of the soul where they really wrestled long and hard with the big questions, and their sense of reason led them to doubt the existence of things like God or an afterlife, despite maybe how much they'd like to believe the contrary to be true. They might be naturally philosophical or insightful people, perhaps like Richard Dawkins, scientists who just look at the evidence, apply the scientific method or their own sense of reason, and just come to the conclusion that there's no good reason to believe in a creator, at least a creator as conceived of in any of the world's man-made religions. Now we're into December, and every year Bill O'Reilly goes into the war on Christmas thing. And usually, sometimes he'll have who I think is a rational, good-natured atheist on and just talk over them or whatever. Other times he'll have maybe those more militant atheists on, atheists that don't represent the majority of non-believers, at least in my opinion. And they might be the more type of extreme atheists, these people who put up signs and billboards that say things like, there is no God, so be good for goodness sake, you know, at Christmas time. When, despite my own strong disbelief, I actually think things like that are actually kind of in poor taste and a mean-spirited. I don't want a religious person or a small child who believes in God, an old woman who finds consolation in God, have to go out into the world and see signs about how there's no God or no Santa Claus or whatever. So in a weird way, I'm actually on Bill O'Reilly's side when it comes to the war on Christmas. Even though I'm not a believer, I was raised Catholic. I still kind of have an affinity or affection for a lot of the symbols or traditions of Roman Catholicism. I prefer it if someone says Merry Christmas to me rather than a generic Happy Holidays, even though that's fine too, because technically at this time of year we do celebrate multiple holidays and we live in a cultural melting pot. I love a lot of traditional Christmas music, and I'm not alone in this. I think there was pictures I saw last year or something of some of the more prominent atheists like Daniel Dennett and Richard Dawkins posing with their Christmas trees. And even they admit, you know, there's joy to be taken in the traditional music and the exchanging of gifts. And of course, a lot of the traditions associated with Christmas have pagan roots anyway, you know, which leads me to mention that either next week or the following week, I'm planning on doing a Christmas special similar to the Halloween special I recently released, if you heard that, where I'll probably, instead of just doing my own impromptu stream of consciousness thing like I usually do, I'll read from a prepared script that I write myself, and it'll be like a mini audio documentary on the history of Christmas. And I have a love for mythology and for ancient history, so I'll probably discuss various traditions. I'll discuss the pagan roots of Christmas, and I know I'll have fun doing it, and I hope you'll have fun listening to it. And I think I'll do that and release it either next week or the following week, but I'll definitely try to get it out before Christmas. And I was going to do some news stories today also, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, but I had initially intended today's episode to be kind of a punchy, short episode where I just covered two or three short news stories, and then I got kind of distracted and digressed into other territory. And for the sake of maintaining the tone I wanted, I'll actually stop this episode now, and within the next couple of days I'll release another one where I just cover those aforementioned news stories. All right, so thanks for listening, and as always, this has been The Week in Doubt. You can visit the Week in Doubt Facebook page and try to leave a message or give the show a like. You can go to podbean.com and look for the Week in Doubt, and you can listen to old episodes that way. You can go to iTunes and perhaps leave a review or subscribe to the show, and any of that would be much appreciated. All right, thank you.